The global race to build the next generation of cellular networks is underway, and it's leading to some intense competition. The technology is known as 5G, or fifth generation, and developers say it will eventually support a world where more of our things are connected to the internet. One of the key players in that race is the Chinese telecommunications giant Huawei. The company was the subject of indictments in two separate cases from the U.S. Justice Department this week, and there's growing concern over its alleged stealing of trade secrets and its ties to the Chinese government. Here's Acting Attorney General Matthew Whitaker announcing the charges on Tuesday.
According to the indictment, in 2012, Huawei began a concerted effort to steal information about a robot that T-Mobile used to test mobile phones. In an effort to build their own robot, Huawei's engineers allegedly violated confidentiality and non-disclosure agreements with T-Mobile by secretly taking photos of the robot, measuring it, and even stealing a piece of it.
Stephen Overly is a technology reporter for Politico. He covers the tech industry's influence in Washington and contributes to the Politico's Morning Tech Report. Stephen, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Well, there's a lot of pieces to this story, Stephen. And let's start with, whenever we talk about 5G, people kind of wonder what 5G is, and I don't have a really good answer for it. What do we mean when we use the phrase 5G?
Sure. Well, 5G refers to fifth generation, and that's the fifth generation cellular network. So the network that sort of powers your mobile phones and so many more consumer gadgets that we now rely on, they'll soon be operating on the 5G network. And what that means, you know, essentially for laymen like you and I, is this will be a faster network that moves our data much more quickly. It supports more devices than the current networks, and has lower latency, meaning there's less lag and drag and fewer kind of dropped calls or dropped data connections.
From my perspective as a user, it's a wireless system, but it's powered, as I understand it, by cables. And in this case, people are expanding fiber optic cables. Is that a big piece of this story?
It is. So essentially, there's a key difference in the 5G network compared to 4G, which is what we have today in many places. And that's it operates on very small cell towers, you know, essentially large cinder block like devices that could be put on the sides of buildings or on telephone poles. And these sort of power the 5G network for only a few hundred feet. And so you'll need many of them to cover a city, for example. And they connect to a fiber network. And so basically all together, this allows, you know, cell phone companies to provide much faster and more robust coverage over a larger area.
Presumably there's a lot of money to be made by making this infrastructure happen. How big a player is this company, this just indicted company, Huawei?
There's a lot of money to be made, and Huawei is certainly a big player. In fact, in the world, they're the largest maker of telecommunications equipment and the second largest maker of smartphones after Samsung. So they're a very large player, and their influence is international. A majority of their business is actually outside of China. They have some business in the U.S., but a lot of it is in Europe and other parts of Asia. So they're certainly a global heavyweight and maybe the biggest player in the telecommunications space at this moment.
We saw the arrest of a Huawei official not too long ago in Canada. Now these indictments by the U.S. government. What kind of things is Huawei being accused of doing here?
So Huawei is being accused of a couple of things. One is stealing trade secrets from partners, particularly T-Mobile. You heard in that clip of the acting Justice Department head outlining concerns that Huawei collected images and data and other information about technology from U.S. companies for the purpose of essentially copying that technology. And this is a big concern that U.S. officials have more broadly of Chinese companies taking trade secrets from U.S. firms and replicating them, essentially stealing their intellectual property. So that's one accusation here. The other, and those were leveled against the chief financial officer of Huawei, is essentially evading U.S. sanctions against Iran and using the banking system to do business with Iran despite the sanctions imposed by the United States. So you have two sets of issues here that or two sets of charges, I should say, being leveled against Huawei. And in the backdrop of all of this are these greater concerns about the company's ties to the Chinese government, which raises a lot of concerns of national security and that sort of thing.
Talking to Stephen Overly, technology reporter for Politico, talking about the quest to develop 5G, the next generation of wireless connection, and this company Huawei, a big Chinese company, just indicted by the Justice Department over the last week. Let's talk about those national security concerns you just raised, Stephen. What are people saying about Huawei's connection overlap with the Chinese government?
So these concerns go back several years. In fact, in 2012, Congress put out a report, and essentially the concerns center around how close Huawei is as a company to the Chinese government, and concerns that the company could therefore be used by the government to spy, for example, on, you know, U.S. industry, on the U.S. government, on the governments and industry in ally countries. And so there's essentially concerns that as Huawei develops a large telecommunication network, the Chinese government will have unfettered access to that network. It's worth pointing out, obviously, Huawei has aggressively denied this. You know, they say they take cybersecurity very seriously, that they're not a tool for espionage by the Chinese government. But this is a concern that U.S. officials have been raising for many years now, and we're seeing it in other countries, too, around the globe.
If it were true that they were serving international security efforts for the Chinese government, what would it mean if they were a big part of creating the infrastructure for 5G in Europe, Canada, the United States? What kind of access does that give them?
Quite a bit of access, actually, in several different ways. So 5G, you know, we can think about our smartphones, for example, as, you know, those will be powered by 5G. But really, it opens the doors to so many possibilities. When you have fast internet processing, you know, you can only imagine what types of artificial intelligence or quantum computing technologies could be developed, some of which we may not even conceive of today. If Huawei is a big part of those networks, perhaps they'll have a front row seat to how those technologies are used and the data that they transmit. As we know, data can be a very sensitive thing. And so we want to be I think the government wants to be mindful of who has access to that data. There are also national security and defense applications here. You know, the U.S. government and the military do utilize commercial networks for some of their functions. They also utilize technologies like artificial intelligence and like quantum computing. And so if Huawei is very heavily involved in how those technologies are operated, and if the Chinese government perhaps has access to Huawei and its information, you know, it's sort of easy to see the potential conflicts and problems that raises.
We're talking to Stephen Overly, a technology reporter with Politico, looking at 5G technology and concerns over the Chinese company Huawei's involvement with it and new indictments against that company from the Justice Department. You can join in at 800-642-1234. If you are following the technology world closely, are you excited about the prospect of a world with 5G technology? If you live in a more remote part of the state, do you worry about how much access you'll have to it? And what do you think about this story? Does it matter to you who is in charge of putting this infrastructure into place after the indictments this week? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're continuing our conversation about 5G technology and charges against one of the Chinese companies involved in trying to bring it to reality. Stephen Overly is with us from Politico. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Would you like having this next generation of wireless technology where you are? Do you have one of these Internet of Things, a fridge that's connected, a TV, a blender? That's a thing that's connected to the internet. Do you have questions about Huawei, this company that's just been charged, or about how 5G works, what it means for our technology? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@wpr.org. Let's bring on a caller now. Charlie is with us in Milwaukee. Charlie, hi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. The 5G network appears to be so important to the United States, both monetarily as well as security and in our infrastructure. The question I have is, does it appear that there are any politicians that are selling themselves out to the Chinese that are putting the United States at risk? Specifically, I was talking about Speaker Pelosi, whose driver was a Chinese spy. I mean, how much of this stuff was actually shared by our politicians?
I hadn't seen that story, Charlie, but Stephen, any indication of espionage directed at U.S. politicians on these issues?
It's a good question. You know, U.S. lawmakers are very concerned about this, obviously, you know, on both sides of the aisle. We've seen from the Trump administration a ban, for example, on Huawei bidding on government contracts because they are concerned that because of its potential ties to the Chinese government, if the U.S. government is using Huawei technology, that creates a national security threat. We've also seen in Congress, Senators Marco Rubio, for example, Tom Cotton, and others have raised national security concerns about Huawei and proposed legislation that would limit the sale of Huawei technology or U.S. sales to U.S. companies selling their technology to Huawei. And so, you know, I think the concern of spying on government is very real, both from the White House and from Congress. And you're seeing a lot of lawmakers talk about this, and some of them starting to try to put legislation to their rhetoric.
Now, this is all going on, Stephen, in the midst of a trade and tariff tiff between the U.S. and China. Is China saying, or could they say, hey, wait a minute, this is basically just protectionism. You're using these national security grounds to lock out a Chinese company from competition for U.S. business.
That is very much part of the argument that you hear. You know, certainly while there are national security considerations here, you can't deny there are economic considerations as well. You know, the U.S. economy has grown quite a bit because our tech and telecom industries have been in many ways very successful. You know, the rollout of 4G technology, for example, has allowed for technologies like Uber and Lyft and Waze and, you know, many other connected devices. You know, we're starting to see innovation in areas like autonomous vehicles and other, you know, automated robotic devices. All of that could be powered by 5G, and there's a lot of economic opportunity there. And certainly the U.S. and U.S. officials want to be sure that the United States is in a position to lead as that becomes a big part of the future economy. And so from a Chinese perspective, you know, especially as they've denied any espionage or national security concerns when it comes to Huawei, this could very much look like protectionism.
Let's bring out another caller now. Mark is with us in Madison. Mark, hello.
Hi there. Thanks for the call. I'm just curious, has Huawei been asked to submit their source code to any of the leading security and research and development firms in the U.S. to determine if there is indeed any sort of a backdoor in their router or other software that they're providing?
Mark, thanks for the call. Stephen, do we know U.S. intelligence efforts to figure out what Huawei may be doing?
There have been extensive U.S. intelligence efforts. The FBI and NSA have both looked into this issue. I am not aware if Huawei has been asked to turn over any source code, for example, but that speaks to an issue of something called tech transfer, which is a big problem, particularly for U.S. tech companies as they look to move into China, with the Chinese government asking for access to things like their code. And then that raising concerns that the Chinese government could then take that and share that with corporations in China who may in turn use U.S. developed technology to their benefit. So, you know, that speaks to, as you mentioned before, Rob, the intersection with economics and with the trade war right now between the U.S. and China. A lot of these issues are very sort of current in that debate as well. You know, this idea that companies could be forced to hand over their technology and have that technology stolen by competitors is a big part of this debate.
Thanks for the call, Mark. Stephen, with this Huawei story, and we've got these charges, the U.S., I think, trying to extradite a Huawei official who was arrested in China, or in Canada. What are you watching for next as this goes on?
It's a very compelling case. You know, just this week, obviously, we heard the charges that were filed, and the U.S. has formally requested that the Huawei official be extradited. So, you know, we'll continue to watch to see how Canada responds, and also how this influences the trade talks. You know, President Trump has said that by March 1st, he wants to come to an agreement on trade with the Chinese government, or tariffs could increase. And so, this issue sort of hangs over those trade talks in a very real way. And it will be interesting to see whether the charges put pressure on the Chinese to be more forthcoming in those trade talks, or really what the implications are.
And briefly, as we wrap up, Stephen, on the 5G front, I talked to a guest, Susan Crawford, author of a new book, making the case that the United States is really falling behind on 5G and related technologies. Is that something you're seeing?
It's certainly a big concern that the industry and some politicians talk about. It's hard to say that we've really fallen behind at this point. You know, China, as well as Japan and South Korea, those four countries are really at the forefront of this. You know, who's in the lead is sort of hard to say, but some in industry definitely say unless the U.S. really invests heavily in 5G and sort of from a regulation standpoint makes it easier to roll out these networks, that it will certainly fall behind, particularly fall behind China.
We'll leave it there for now. Stephen, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you.
That's Stephen Overly. He's a technology reporter for Politico. He's with us to talk about 5G technology, what it is, and growing security concerns over one of the key players in that market, the Chinese company Huawei. We heard charges filed by the Justice Department against that company and concerns over their connections with the Chinese government. Across the country and here in Wisconsin, there's a growing group of older parents. Their children are grown but still can't care for themselves. They're part of the first wave of families to keep children with disabilities at home instead of institutionalizing them. Corrine Hess reports that many of those parents are struggling with how to guarantee their children will be cared for when they're gone.
Once a month, about a dozen parents meet for coffee in a small room in the Milwaukee suburb of Wauwatosa. Before having an opportunity to mingle, they usually hear from a speaker. The topics range from financial literacy to housing. The group of otherwise strangers share a common bond. They have adult children with disabilities. They themselves are aging, and unlike the generations before them, they didn't institutionalize their children. They cared for them at home, and now they need help. Richard and Teresa Zimmerman have been regulars at the Coffee Connections program for a while. Both in their mid-60s, the couple is worried about their 34-year-old son, Neil. Neil has had cerebral palsy since he was an infant.
You hear about group homes. We don't think his situation would really apply to a group home because of the need that he has,
the level
of care. You would have to have three shifts of people eight hours a day in order to care for him.
Neil is wheelchair-bound. He can't go to the bathroom on his own, and he can't talk. His parents have not gone on vacation in 15 years. The Zimmermans have a 31-year-old daughter who is a teacher in Madison. They don't want her to have to worry about Neil when they are gone. That's one of the reasons they are starting to look at options for Neil.
It's a matter of trying to make sure that she's not going to be having to make the big decisions later. That's why we're looking into the future for us, you know, as far as what's going to happen.
A $25,000 grant from UnitedHealthcare has made the Coffee Connections program possible for the last year. It's run through Wauwatosa nonprofit Life Navigators. The monthly program gives parents raising adult children with disabilities a chance to come together and discuss common fears. Holly Davis with the Department of Aging for Milwaukee County says many caregivers never get a break. Being able to meet other people in the same situation can be one way to relieve stress.
There are a couple of different age groups of caregivers, right? So we have the sandwich generation where they're caregiving for an older parent and then a younger child with a disability. Mm-hmm. They're still of working age, and so it really taxes and stresses them that way. And then you have the other group of caregivers who are elderly and have these children, adult children, that are still dealing with their disability.
At a recent Coffee Connections meeting, the group heard from Lisa Voisin. Boyson is a regular attendee whose son Adam was diagnosed with cerebral palsy when he was 2 years old. Adam is now 26 and has been confined to a wheelchair his entire life. About 8 years ago, Lisa and her husband decided it was time for Adam to live independently. They bought a house large enough for Adam's wheelchair near their home in the Milwaukee suburb of Muskego. They also found roommates who have disabilities to live with Adam. He has been on his own for 3 years.
You know, your biggest fear as a parent is somebody going to take advantage of my son, which has happened in small ways, but it's happened. And you have to accept that because you have to weigh it with the advantages of him being out on his own.
When Adam moved, Lisa planned to spend the first 2 weeks in the house. Adam asked her to leave after the first night, but she is called often. He or his roommates fall out of bed, or they have an accident and need help getting to the bathroom. Lisa and her husband are in their 40s, but they worry about what will happen when they are too old to care for Adam. Going to Coffee Connections, the couple is hoping to find answers. Corrine Hess, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Coming up Monday here on Central Time, a Republican state lawmaker joins us with his reaction to the back-and-forth changes of plans at Foxconn and what it means for state subsidies and economic development. A guest makes the case that the crackdown on prescription opioid medications is ultimately hurting people who are dealing with chronic severe pain. And online dating can be confusing for just about anybody, and seniors getting back into dating are entering a whole new world, maybe very different from their original dating experiences. We'll get some advice from our guest, and maybe you can call in and share stories, your own story or that of an older family member. Plus, we'll take a look at some of the top news of the day, that and more. It's all coming up Monday here on Central Time.